not all trains are equal.
Yes, the train guy on TikTok has taught me that.
Yeah, not all trains are equal.
They're not. Some are louder than others, and some are longer than others.
Just like them.
Hi, I'm Avery.
I'm Valerie.
And we have ADHD. Hey! Hello! Okay, so do you have any thoughts that you want to get out real quick before we do this, or are we just jumping straight in?
No, not really.
Okay.
Do you have any updates?
So, I went to Disney by myself today.
Ooh, a little self-date.
But let me tell you right now, just so everyone knows, my feet are on fire, and I went on test track by my, well, not by myself, but by myself, like, you know, the solo rider lane, and my neck is killing me.
That's interesting, because I didn't think that ride was very intensive.
It's not, but I slept on it wrong. YOLO, right? I'm saving for Spain. I can't really, like, pay for a chiropractor.
Right. Oh, I do have an update.
Okay, hit us.
I don't currently have a hyperfixation. I am hyperfixationless.
I know, which is insane.
I am free. I'm finally free for at least, I don't know, probably a week until something hits me.
Until the dopamine strikes again.
Yeah, I think that my personality is just loading. Who will I be in a week? Who knows?
Someone with a lot less clothes.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's actually my hyperfixation, getting rid of everything.
I think cleaning is your hyperfixation, personally.
Not cleaning, but so much decluttering. I'm trying to get rid of, like, half the things in my apartment before I move, so...
I know. I need to do the same thing before Spain.
Yeah, because I was thinking... This is probably going to be my last apartment before I move out of Florida, and I don't want to take everything I have with me out of Florida, so.
This is probably going to be my last apartment before I leave the country, so, like, we're on the same page.
Right.
Anyways, let's get into the episode now. I just wanted to catch you guys up because, you know, it's our first episode of the week.
It is. So, today we wanted to talk about something we can all relate to. Making friends is hard. Especially where me and Avery are right now in our 20s.
And it's even harder if you have ADHD. I've told you before that making friends is easy, but keeping them is actually really hard.
Especially when you're as aloof as I am.
Well, I mean, we all are. The ADHD, we just kind of forget that they exist.
Well, friendships are also easier when there's a closer proximity, which I don't think we want to listen to my walkable cities and quality of life rant right now. So, Avery, do you want to preface the episode with some research?
Sure, I'll do that for you. So according to Psychology Today, quote, recently the Surgeon General of the United States released a report that found that loneliness and smoking are similarly dangerous to our health, which makes sense if you ask me.
Also, social anxiety and rejection sensitivity dysphoria, or RSD, commonly rampant among us with ADHD, can make making friends even more difficult.
So I know you tend to have more social anxiety than I do with my ADHD. So let's go ahead and bump over to your experience with that.
Right. Well, Psychology Today also hit the nail right on the head. I often think, like, okay, I will embarrass myself. I will make a bad first impression. People won't like me right away. I have to be perfect to be liked. I'm too forgetful to be a reliable friend. Especially that last one. Oh my god, I'm bad at keeping up with people.
I am too. A lot of it has to do with our object permanence issues. If friend not in front of me, friend do not exist, you know?
Right. So here I am, on my soapbox. Walkable cities foster community, and it's easier to create friendships and connections there, as well as maintain them.
I'm impressed that soapbox didn't last any longer.
I'm just assuming people will understand me, but with my social anxiety, I'm also just cripplingly aware that I'm a little bit awkward and clumsy. And like you, I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I'm very blunt, mostly on purpose. I take a lot of pride in expressing myself without holding back because I held back before and it made my social anxiety worse when I did. And I know being blunt isn't everyone's cup of tea, but I just think that I should be able to express myself fully around the people in my life. So if someone can't really handle that, they get the boot.
I agree with that. It's also interesting to me that you're like self-aware that you're blunt. I mean, I am too, but mine's very impulsive. Hello, Sagittarius Mercury, Sagittarius Sun, and I'm an ENTP. All I do is judge people. And then the ADHD and impulse decisions and actions are a big part of ADHD. So I'm aware of it, but like my first impulse is to be judgy and blunt. As I always say, nice is not my default. It takes me a minute to get there, or I actually have to stop myself from speaking, from saying the things that I would say sometimes, you know?
Right. I'm very cognizant of that, but I enjoy leaning into it. I just think that being blunt is the better way to be. I'm a big believer on if you're not for me, then you're not for me. More so now than I have been in the past. I mean, I used to bite my tongue a lot. I'm an INFJ, which we can do a Myers-Briggs episode sometime, but essentially, my default is people-pleasing. And learning more about people and about the world and trying to manage my image as much as I can, so that might just be my PR training kicking in, but I enjoy being blunt nowadays because I realized that I can, if that makes sense.
No, that does. And to like add in, I'll never forget when I was in high school, I'll never forget when my psychologist looked me dead in the face and she's like, okay, so 100% of the people you meet, right? 25% of them are going to like you. 25% of them can be convinced to like you. 25% of them can be convinced not to like you, and 25% of people can be convinced to hate you. So why focus on the 50% of people who don't like you, which could even end up being 75% of people? Focus on the 25% of people that actually like you. So I don't really care what people think about me. I'm blunt. If you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to be around my bluntness. And I always get told that I look intimidating or mean until I actually become friends with people, you know?
Same. Yeah, I just, even to add to that, why focus on 50% when you have to convince 25% of that 100 that you're likable? Like, being blunt has just completely cut out the 25% that I have to convince to like me. Like, I just shouldn't have to convince someone to like me.
It also just helps a lot. I feel like if more people were just blunt, this is my opinion, right? If more people were just blunt, I think we'd be in a little bit of like a
nicer world. Yeah.
Nicer world. There wouldn't be as much. Because like, listen, in a corporate environment, you have to get along with everyone. I'm not saying you don't have to, but like, at the same time, you don't have to be overly nice for no reason.
Right. And this has always been my biggest crux about living in the South. Like, I feel like a lot of people in the South, they will absolutely hate you and invite you to their parties. Like,
oh, Southern hospitality.
Yeah, I hate Southern hospitality because I would rather have, like, the New York attitude where you're just going to call me a bitch to my face and leave. Like, that's what I would prefer.
Okay, so you know how funny this is to me? There's a podcast with two girls and they're from New York. And I've told you to listen to them a couple times, but I don't know if you do. They talk about how in New York, the people aren't really rude, but the people are very, like,
blunt.
I just have somewhere to be. I have something I have to do. They'll give you directions, but they're not going to outwardly be nice to you. We're like, the one thing I'll say about being in the South is, like, everyone does smile at everyone, and everyone's like, have a good day. But, like, in New York, everyone's just got somewhere to be, and that's A-okay, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm the type of person where you will know where you stand with me. You will always know where you stand with me.
Exactly.
I'm not going to hate you and not tell you.
I wouldn't even say I hate people. It's just a strong dislike.
We are not the same.
I don't like to use the word hate unless I genuinely do hate something or hate someone. Just because hate's got a lot of negative connotation behind it. While spiritual Avery's coming in.
It's definitely reserved to people that deserve it. But I am a hater, first and foremost.
Haters, first and foremost, as a concept.
As a concept.
We're haters.
We are haters. they're not even going to understand concepts until next week. Like,
I don't care. You guys just get ready for it.
Get ready for learning what a concept is.
Get ready for Avery's new saying and catchphrase.
Our new saying and catchphrase. I can't stop saying it.
And no, literally, as a concept, we can't stop saying as a concept. As a concept, let's get back to the episode.
But yeah, I don't care what people think about me. I do. I really do. But like, also, I really don't. I know that's hard for people to understand because another friend of ours thinks that's all I care about, like what other people think of me. And that's just not true.
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think it kind of depends on who you're around, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, in your day-to-day life, no. But if we were, like, going out with a new group of people, you wouldn't try to be, like, you're not going to be like me.
No, I definitely gatekeep my personality, but I gatekeep my personality, but I don't try to cater to other people. Social anxiety is definitely a big deal for me. It's gotten easier with age and experience, but it's always a hurdle to jump. Therapy has really helped with that, as well as like getting out of my own head. People don't think about you that often, so just chill.
Trust me, guys, people are not remembering that one awkward moment from years ago that happened in high school or middle school or even elementary school if you know people that long. Okay.
Oh, do you know what I should have also added to our little script here? Masking. But that can be a whole topic for another day. Masking with ADHD is also a big deal in terms of making friends.
Yeah, I feel like that could be its own episode. Maybe we should do that because this could be a part one and we could do a part two.
That is true.
So part two on masking and friendships, guys. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, but I was also able to find this paper from the National Library of Medicine titled Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder and the Challenges of Close Friendships. And this article focuses mainly on friendships in adolescents with ADHD, which the research, even as the paper admits, is nearly non-existent. To quote the paper, inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity, core features of ADHD, are likely to interfere with the communication skills needed to establish and consolidate any social relationship, even more so a friendship, which, duh. But let's think about this in context of a kindergartner, in which the paper talks about. The impulsivity of children with ADHD may result in displays of temper that are disliked by potential friends and may distract from their companions' enjoyment of the time spent with them. They may attend insufficiently to rules of a game and to the wishes of their play partners regarding choice of activities.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really heady. I'm sorry.
Do you remember that TikTok audio from, what was it, like a year, 2 years ago? Do you remember the TikTok audio where it's a guy and he's talking about ADHD in children and he says by age 10, children with ADHD will lose all their childhood friends?
No.
And like start self-isolating. It was going around TikTok for a really big time, but that's also about the part that like all I started getting was ADHD TikToks, and that's like right around the time I got diagnosed.
That was when I started considering that I had ADHD.
It was in 2021 I got diagnosed.
Yeah.
Because that's after I switched to UCF. But anyways, children with ADHD do struggle to make friends, and it's mostly because we don't follow the rules. If the rules don't make sense to us, why would we follow it? Also, following guidelines, strict orders, or strict, rigid classroom rules doesn't really jive with ADHD. We're inconsistent on a best day, and friendships require consistency. So does creating new boundaries. And when you're in school and you're trying to blend in with the new rules on top of make new connections, it gets really hard. But a majority of children with ADHD do end up losing childhood friends and typically don't end up keeping a lot of their friends for very long, which leads to loneliness and a lot of depression in teens with ADHD.
That's so interesting to think about age 10, because around age 10 is when I ended up moving from South Florida to Central Florida, and I did end up losing a lot of my close friendships that I built there.
Age 10 was when I got bullied really bad.
Same.
So it's just interesting. It's around age 10 or 12 that's also when social norms are being set by children, I believe. I'm not a childhood psychologist.
That's when kids start to get a little more cliquey.
That's when social norms are set. That's when, like, the rankings are set, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because that's typically when most kids with ADHD get isolated from their peers because we don't follow the social norms and tend to either A, be a social butterfly, or B, be more self-reserved and impulsive and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
And relationships in general require consistency. If we are the way we are and people don't exist unless they're right in front of us, it presents some challenges. Like, I often feel really, really bad that most of my friends have to reach out to me first, but I get so absorbed in myself and whatever I'm doing that I kind of just forget that I have all these incredible connections in my life, even if I'm very grateful for those that I know. Like, I blame it on, yes, I'm an introvert, and I believe that introverts are only ever adopted by extroverts. Like, that's just how it works. But it's also that I forget people exist. Very genuinely.
Well, yeah. It's like that meme that's like, all my friends should live on the same cul-de-sac so we can be around each other all the time. Or that, like, all my friends should live in the same apartment complex so we can all go hang out. Or, you know, adult friendships need 6 months in advance because you have to schedule time off for everyone and you have to be able to make a reservation for dinner and everything. We're so busy and we're kept so busy. You know, and it's just hard to maintain friendships on top of whatever our hyperfixation may be or the work project that we're hyperfixating on, etc.
There's truth in the memes.
There's always truth in the memes.
But this article also expresses how ADHD's executive dysfunction can pose a problem for friendships. Executive functions are the processes that regulate an individual's ability to organize thoughts and activities, prioritize tasks, manage time efficiently, and make decisions. Cognitive flexibility is the hallmark of these processes. And as friendship becomes increasingly dependent on cooperative behavior, as it does in middle childhood, around 10, 12, as you said, children with ADHD may encounter increasing difficulties in maintaining friendships due to these cognitive issues. This may also restrict them to making friends, mainly with peers that show the same deficits.
Like I always say, all my friends are neurodivergent. We all tend to flock to each other. I mean, I can count on one hand the amount of my friends that are neurodivergent. It's probably almost everyone I talk to, if I'm not lying.
Right. We were just talking about that, too.
Yeah. Like I say, all my friends are neurodivergent.
Well, also humans, we tend to like to be around people we can relate to. It relates back to the whole idea that you're the summation of the five people you spend the most time with. We're social creatures, and we will fit in where we can fulfill our social needs. So, if we have ADHD, it's more likely for us to want to be around other people who also have ADHD.
Birds of a feather do flock together. Kind of clicky, if you think about it.
Humans are clicky. It's kind of natural to be. But, yeah. The article's very interesting. It even dives into depth about the effects of stimulant medication on children making friends throughout some observational data. It's worth the read, so I'll drop it in our blog post on friendships and ADHD.
But if we're talking about ADHD and friendships, we should also talk about how isolating it is to have a neurodivergent brain while trying to make and maintain friendships. You feel like a weirdo all the time.
Which pours back into the social anxiety.
It all goes back to social anxiety.
You know, my biggest piece of advice is that you sometimes have to accept that you are a weirdo and roll with it. Everyone's a weirdo, in their own way.
Is that the moral of today's episode for us?
I think it is, yeah. But in general, making friends in your 20s is very hard, because we're all over the place, all the time. We're kind of just rolling around adulthood with our training wheels on and figuring it out as we go.
Well, your 20s are just building up to your 30s, your 30s are just building up to your 40s, your 40s are just building up to your 50s. I genuinely don't even think we'll ever have it figured out, personally.
I don't think anyone ever does. Your 20s is really where you just try to figure out your career, build your close circle, start a family, maybe, or build a family, or a foundation for one, so you can start one in your 30s. Start college or graduate college, potentially move cities, states, countries. Like, your 20s is a time for exploration and growth.
Yeah, and your 30s are just your 20s with money. Like, come on, guys. I'm a huge Sex and the City fan, so it's your Sex and the City era. They're in their 30s in that movie.
I'm so grateful that you introduced me to Sex and the City, because it's very comforting to watch women in their 30s be very stupid. just like us.
That's why we watched it on Galentine's. It's cheesy, but it's a comfort movie, and it always makes me feel good. It's kind of like Friends, if you think about it in a way.
I like it better than Friends. It's definitely a comfort show.
No, the show is iconic.
I started it not too long ago, and it's so fun.
Yeah, but do you have any advice for people trying to make friends in their 20s, neurodivergent or non-neurodivergent?
Just explore. Yeah, explore. Hang out with lots of people. You've got local mixers for like dating and everything. Instagram's always been helpful for me in making friends. Social media in general, I guess, is good. In this context, anyway. Social media can get, but Bumble has that friend finder option, which I don't have experience with, but I would definitely check that out if you're moving to a new place.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. I've used it in the past, and I think there was two girls I was talking to up until recently. I think conversation just kind of fizzled out. Just different stages of life, but, you know.
I've heard good things. What's your advice to people in their 20s?
Honestly, just stay open, guys. Don't try to close people out because you think they're weird or anything. Sometimes your best friends can end up being the people you thought were weird at once. I mean, come on. We've talked about this. Me and Valerie didn't really get along the first time we met.
We got along from my perspective. You just wanted to fight me.
I did want to fight you. I want to fight everyone, though. But take it all with a grain of salt, guys. Not everyone's for you, and not everyone is good for you either. You're going to find your own people with your own flavor, and it might require moving cities or going somewhere else, but, you know, it's all good. Some people are meant to be in your life for a lifetime, and some people are only meant to be in your life for a short period of time.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are in your life for a short time, especially in your 20s. Not every connection you make is going to be a best friend or a lifelong friend. Just let friendships find and fulfill their purpose. You could just make a friend for an hour at a workout class once a week. Just don't put pressures on friendships to be more than what they are and just enjoy where they go.
Exactly. If you're an extrovert like me, adopt an introvert. They might hate you and you might just talk at them for 3 times at a class once a week, and then they inevitably decide to be your friend, and now you're going to a different country with that person. That's all directed at Carlos. I don't even know if he listens to this. But sometimes, too, you just might be in a class with someone and be friends for the semester, and it's A-okay. Or just friends for a short period of time during a class or a work, if you're at a job with someone. You never know what may come of something, but don't create unnecessary pressure. It doesn't foster friendships in the best way, and creating pressure doesn't mean the friendships are going to be diamonds.
Exactly.
Well, anyways, we should probably rehash this topic. Like we said, there'll be a part 2 talking about friendships and masking. But here's some background for you guys. That's all I think we got for right now.
Yeah. So if you like this episode, be sure to rate us 5 stars on whatever you're listening to, and we'll officially be friends.
Wait, are you voluntelling me I have to be friends with people?
Yeah, Avery, it's mandatory now. We're all friends, parasocially. Deal with it.
Okay, I guess that's fine or whatever. Don't forget also too, after 100 reviews, we are going to get our podcast logo tattooed on us. So help us reach that goal. It helps out every time you leave a review.
It does. So, yeah. We'll see y'all in the next episode. Bye! Bye. That's been another episode of AVHD. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at AVHDpod.
And join our Discord server. We love to talk to you, tell us what you think, and get live updates whenever we release a new episode and some more content.
Also, check out our Patreon and our website, AVHDpodcast.com, for more exclusive content.
Drink your water.
Take your meds.
Did you eat today? You should probably go eat. We love you.
We out.